Brad Williams understands what it takes to qualify and move prospects all the way down the funnel. Advancing the sales process from lead gen until close is full of potential hiccups and nuances that many reps struggle to master. Today's guest has been doing that very thing for over 30 years in the tech industry. Brad is president of Dextra CRM Solutions, a premier Salesforce partner company that helps businesses implement technology while improving the sales cycle. In this podcast, Brad reveals the book that heavily influenced Brad, and face it, Mary Lou too, why a CRM won't help you without a sales system in place or process, and tips for reorganizing and recognizing dead opportunities in your pipeline. Hey everybody, it's Mary Lou Tyler, Predictable Prospecting, and today's guest is a gentleman who I've met probably within the first week or two of moving from San Francisco to a little town in the Midwest called Des Moines, which in fairness, my husband and I had to kind of look it up on the map to find out where it was, since we're coast-to-coast people and not necessarily Midwest. But I met Brad Williams, who is the president of Dextra CRM Solutions. They're a Salesforce.com implementation partner and specialize in getting people and the process and all the technology figured out so that you can advance sales quickly. I've asked Brad to come on the show today because I think he has unique insights into what it takes to move records or accounts or contacts all the way from the top of the pipeline where I specialize, which is cold contact through qualified opportunity. But he also specializes in getting it from opportunity to close. So without further ado, Brad, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Mary Lou. Great to talk to you.
Cool. So you are the president of Dextra and CRM Solutions. And as you mentioned, you cover pretty much everything east of the Rockies. Would that be, is that kind of your territory and what you, where you work?
Sure, that's right. We are based in Des Moines, and out of Des Moines, we cover the greater Midwest, which is essentially Iowa and all the states that touch Iowa. And then we also have an office in Washington, D.C. So out of that office, we cover the Mid-Atlantic territory, states like Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, and in that area. But that being said, we have clients all over the world, so we're not limited in any way to any territory.
Now, you and I connected when I first came into town promoting predictable revenue, which is way back in 2011. But what really got me interested in what you had to say was your ability to encapsulate in a Venn diagram sort of way, people, process, and technology. And specifically, you mentioned a book that I think we all read back in the, what was that, 70s or 80s, maybe the 80s. Called Getting to Closed. And that book revolutionized the way that we actually brought opportunities to close. So tell us a little bit about your involvement with that process and how Dextra actually works with clients in helping them advance sales from opportunity to close one.
Sure. So I have effectively been selling high-end technology solutions for 30-plus years. And over the years, I've used just about, probably like you, Mary Lou, just about every sales process or methodology, read every book, you know, from, Miller Hyman to the challenger sale, the consultative sale, solution selling, all of those. But it wasn't really until about 2005 or 6 that I got introduced to the book called Getting to Close. The author is Stephen Schiffman. It's actually, as you mentioned, a late 70s, early 80s book. So it's been around quite a while. But it's a very simple process. The concept of getting to close takes a qualified prospect, which is, again, kind of where you end, is where the getting to close process begins. Once you have an opportunity identified or a transaction that you're trying to close and you're starting to move it through the various stages of the selling cycle from, you know, stage one to all the way to getting closed, from discovery to gathering information to proposal and negotiation and closed won or closed lost, that process using the getting to close methodology essentially is a date-driven process that says if you don't have a date and time for the next step, you're not going to move it forward. And if you don't have a date and time for the next step, you are either stalled, and we are going to move that opportunity off the board, or if you will, down into the parking lot until such a time as you have a date and time for the next step. And by using a very objective date and time approach or analysis, you take all the subjectivity out of the selling process. We all know that there are really only two kinds of sales reps. There's the overly optimistic and the overly pessimistic. And by just saying, if you don't have a date and time for whatever the next step is in your selling cycle, then I don't care. You're not going to move that opportunity forward. And it's a great way to take all of that subjectivity out of the process and fundamentally stops people from chasing ghosts or opportunities that really aren't qualified and never will close.
In addition, it sounds like, you know, if you, I don't know if you remember the predictable revenue formula on page 42 of the book, but we talked about the funnel and the average deal size, but also this thing called time that factored into predictability and creating a consistent pipeline that you could scale. And in this case, forecast properly. So it sounds like the getting to closed option eliminates that lag dependency or reps saying, you know, anytime now, or let's move it to 10%, let's move it to 15 and 20. So it's not a percentage thing, it's a time date thing, which is, for me, more substantial, and you can get your arms around that.
Right, exactly. It time stamps every movement through the selling stages and helps you then determine the average selling cycle and what you can do to increase the velocity from the first stage all the way to completion.
Wow. So your team then, are they helping clients implement the process, or how does that work when you actually work with a client and you see that they're struggling in getting from opportunity to close?
Sure, it's really interesting. So we are a technology partner. I mean, we're a system integrator for Salesforce.com. So a vice president of sales will call Dextra and say, hey, I've got a problem with my sales organization. You know, whatever the situation is, they're not forecasting accurately, they're not closing enough deals, they're not generating enough growth in their revenue or their pipeline, or they have some sort of other dysfunction in the sales organization. So they call us under the notion that, you know, Salesforce or CRM in general is a tool that they can apply that, of course, is going to solve all their problems. And while I'm a huge believer in Salesforce.com, I bet my business on it. I'm also pretty certain that technology alone is not going to make the world safe for democracy. It fundamentally, a process needs to be applied. And so what we try to do is we try to say to our clients, look, we can help you implement Salesforce.com and help you automate the process, but let's be sure that we have an underlying, you know, sales system, if you will, underneath it, or a process underneath it. And that's when we introduced the getting to closed concept and walk them through that methodology. And it's very complementary then to what we do with CRM, which ultimately the software institutionalizes the process that we teach them.
So are there apps, or how does one actually visually implement this process?
That's a great question. And actually, Salesforce.com, just last fall, in the fall of 2015, introduced their new user interface. They call it the Lightning Experience. If you're familiar with Salesforce.com, they have their old user interface, which has been around a while. They call that, of course, now the Classic Interface, and they have the Lightning Experience. And within the Lightning Experience, they have what they call the Kanban, K-A-N-B-A-N, board, and it is a very visual, column-driven, click-and-paste kind of an opportunity movement user interface where you can simply take opportunities, describe the stages, from start to finish, put opportunities in each stage, define the probability associated with those stages, analyze the amount of revenue in each stage, and then move opportunities, if you will, from left to right or from start to finish, very visually in this Kanban board. So Salesforce has, quote unquote, gotten on board with the board concept by introducing it as part of their user interface.
Okay, so it sounds like the app is there. What about the methodology? Or as you said, you know, it's great having tools and technology, but do they, in your opinion, do they have the process pieces so that one can understand the why behind utilizing the board or the Kanban board? Sorry.
No, that's the missing link, if you ask me, and I'd like to believe that we have a pretty good understanding of it. And interestingly enough, I don't see a lot of other implementers that do, because again, we get called mostly because, you know, they think that we're going to implement Salesforce.com and it's a technology play. But in reality, if you bring to them the underlying process, you're really becoming more of a trusted advisor.
Right.
And the information's out there. I mean, to answer your question specifically, you can go to Amazon and buy Getting Declosed by Stephen Shipton. It's readily available, and you can read the book in about an hour and a half, and all the methodology is right there and self-explanatory. And then, of course, you could hire somebody like Dextra to come in and help you implement it if you so desire.
Okay.
Just a little shameless plug there.
That's okay. No, that's fine. So the Kanban board sounds like it's a representation of the Getting to Close board, which, I mean, when I was in sales back in the dark ages, it seems like now, we utilized that type of methodology because of the fact that it did hold the reps accountable for more accurate forecasting. So can you share with the audience, you know, since you're running around visiting a lot of different types of clients and different verticals, what are some of the experiences that you've seen or the things that if you could give our audience, like where you've seen things fall short and what are the common mistakes that are being made out there that you're called in to help fix?
Sure. I think, I'll give you my own personal experience. Again, you know, right up until 06, I'd probably been in sales for 25 or more years. And really had never been introduced to a date-driven methodology, you know, as defined in Getting to Close. And at that time, I was literally chasing 80 or so opportunities. Of course, I was my own worst enemy. I kept hanging on to opportunities that I thought, well, you know, those are someday going to close, and not fundamentally getting rid of them. And when I applied the discipline, once I read the book and applied the discipline, I took those 80 down to 3.
Wow.
Literally, I took 80 opportunities down to 3.
You're making people cry right now.
Qualify. And I was chasing ghosts, and that's the biggest problem a lot of us have. And I'm working with a client right now in financial services in Des Moines, Iowa. Same problem. In this case, you've got a new vice president of sales who's been brought into an organization that's really never had what I would call a growth mindset or a revenue mindset, because they've been very successful through word of mouth. But you have a new VP of sales who's come in and is trying to drive change in the organization, and there really is no process around the selling approach and no discipline around it. So again, he's got a pipeline of opportunities, most of which have been dead for a long time. You know, it's kind of like the Bruce Willis movie, The Sixth Sense. They're dead. They just don't know it yet. So for me and for clients like this, the chance to come in and really, you know, call a spade a spade, take opportunities that really aren't moving forward, drop them off of your board, if you will, or put them down in a parking lot until there's some momentum, is a great way to clarify and go from 80 opportunities down to 3 is a very clarifying moment for any sales professional.
Yeah, if they're willing to embrace that. I think that sounds really scary, Brad, to go from 80 to 3. When you said that, even me, who understands the logic behind it, it's a scary thing to let go.
Yeah, it is, especially if you've been telling your manager that your pipeline looks a lot bigger, you know, or if you're like me, a small businessman, and you've got to feed 15 families or so. Yeah, it can be very scary. But you know, what's even scarier, as you know, is the problem most of us have is the lack of predictability. I'm sure
right.
that's part of why you chose that term in predictable prospecting. The mm-hmm. lack of predictability, if you're a Fortune 500 company, it means you're going to miss your guidance and your shareholders are going to be disappointed and your stock's going to go down. If you're a small business owner like myself, you're going to miss payroll. If you're an individual sales rep, you're not going to make the income and commissions that you're expecting. So
right.
adding this level of predictability to the process, I think, is fundamental. And even though it is scary at the moment, you're much better off for it in the long run.
And you know, I have another colleague who calls it spinning plates. I mean, when you go to the fair and you see people spinning plates and they get up to plate number 10, by the time they get back to number one, it stops spinning again. So you really can't manage a whole heck of a lot of accounts, especially as you're working through opportunity to close. Now, that is not my area of expertise, but I remember how hard it was to juggle multiple accounts, multiple contacts, multiple buyers. So if you get down to something meaningful that is highly forecastable, then I am with you on doing that. And now that we have technology, when you say park it, we can park it into a queue of nurture content that's relevant for whatever the pain point is, because we're smarter now. So we should be able to create a content stream for the people who are parked that bubble up that sense of urgency or whatever triggers will get them to come back into the opportunity pipeline, but ready for conversation. You know, in the olden days,
That's
we didn't
exactly.
have all that.
No, you're exactly right. And the technology allows you to, as you say, park it. And I think the biggest...
Intelligently park it.
It's a aha moment. Intelligently park it, and then nurturing it, as you say. For me, the biggest aha is just the realization that not now doesn't necessarily mean not ever.
Right.
So I, you know, even today, I'm still guilty of, well, if I lose a deal, well, you know, shame on them. They weren't smart enough to buy from me. I'm never going to talk to them again. Well, the answer is,
right.
you know, the answer is 6 months from now, they may have a new situation or a new leader or executive change or whatever, and they may well be an opportunity to come back at. So not now doesn't mean not ever. Let's park those that you either lose or that have lost momentum as they're going through the selling cycle. Let's apply good, you know, nurture marketing techniques and ongoing communication program, and sooner or later, they'll probably bubble back up to the top.
Yeah, so leverage the technology. So we've covered process, we've covered technology. You also specialize in the people side. Can you elaborate for the folks listening a little bit on that area? And what specifically are the lessons learned in the people side of the house?
Well, what I have found, and it's really a hard lesson to learn, and a lot of people may not agree with it, but... especially when you go into, let's say, an executive sales professional or someone who's been selling for a long time, change is hard. And one of two things has to be in the environment for a person to change. They either have to be intrinsically motivated. You know, they're just personality is such that they're driven to want to improve. Or something externally is changing that forces them to have to make a change in their approach to selling.
Mm-hmm.
If one of those two things is not present, and ideally somebody who is intrinsically motivated to grow and learn and change and leverage these new technologies, you're fighting a losing battle. I had one CEO look at me and say, and they were going to invest a significant amount of money in Salesforce.com, but they had a senior sales agent who literally was 80 years old, but was also a top seller. The CEO of the company looked at me and said, Brad, I don't care if the guy uses Salesforce.com or not. I don't care if he uses an abacus. You know, I'm not going to get in his way. Well, that's a situation where they're clearly not going to take advantage of the technology that's there. And fine, maybe they don't have to, because if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I understand that mentality.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the kinds of people that, you know, that are not going to be motivated to try to change and grow. And what happens when that 80-year-old guy finally does retire? Is there a system in place behind him? Is there a set of disciplines that that person used that they can hand down? Those are the kinds of things we hope to achieve using a CRM system and the right people.
Yeah. One of the things that on the people side for me, now everyone knows that I'm a process person. So, but the process does amplify and accentuate problems with sales skills, even though, once again, that's not necessarily my area, but I know enough to know when there's a red flag when it comes to sales skills. And on the people side, the biggest red flag in the top of pipeline is habit. And continually getting people to role play, to practice, you know, reading scripts. I get these rolling eyes from the young folks when it comes to, look, here's a script. You don't have to say it word for word, but I want you to get the essence of it and the tonality of it and figure out when you're going to accentuate certain words or not. And for me, the people side is, can I get these folks into a habit so that they will continually want to eke out a percent improvement in the delivery of the sales conversation, in their ability to do research the night before they go home, so that when they're in their block time, they're not spending time researching. These little things on the people side really make a difference. When you're looking at opportunity to close, are there techniques that you found that sales reps who are consistently good at closing business, are there certain techniques that they use on the people side in order to be able to move through the board, for example, from step to step to step?
Well, sure. I think that the technology today makes it so easy to do your homework. You know, using things like LinkedIn and all of the databases that are out there, so that, you know, it doesn't take long, 30 minutes in advance of a meeting, I can generally look at the person that I'm meeting, look up their profile, look up the company information, check the current news and events, see if there's anything happening in their environment or in their industry that might make a difference to what I'm trying to say, and have that information, so the idea that I can know a lot or know more about the client than I've ever been able to as a sales professional. That's a big deal. But then, you know, talk less. So know more, talk less, and listen a lot, right?
Yeah, active listening.
And ask good questions. Mm-hmm. Active listening. It really is key. And it's a little bit cliche, but, you know, tell me about you. It's usually the first thing I say. I usually don't just come in and say that. I usually say, you know, hey, I looked at your LinkedIn and it looks like we know so-and-so together, or we have some common interests, or I understand you're in this role at this company. But tell me more. Tell me about you. How long have you been here? And just get them talking. And it's amazing if you have good listening skills and then can ask good pointed questions where that will lead you. And I think those soft skills are just as important. And you only learn those through the role-playing examples that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And Mary Lou, what kills me, you know, you and I went through the trainings where the IBMs and the Xeroxes of the world and mm-hmm. the HPs, they did that, you know, for years and years and years. And you had to go for 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 weeks of training. And if you failed the test, you went home. They don't do that anymore. So you being able to provide that to your audience, I think, is a wonderful benefit, because nobody else is doing it anymore.
Yeah, you know, and sales is still a two-way conversation. And I think we tend to forget that. So I really enforce it with the top of funnel work that I do in the sense of role play. And one of my colleagues had a brilliant, and I'm like, why didn't I think of that? A brilliant idea, Mark over at Outreach. What he does is when they're getting ready to do block time, they take the first 15 minutes in role play. So that's warming up everybody and role-playing. They may do a writing exercise, they may do different things, but they have it on the schedule, because we do block time probably every day because we're trying to get to those meaningful conversations. But if you practice up front, you're nice and warmed up, ready to go. It just makes the calling experience so much better. So I am all about, in the old school of practice makes perfect, and you're right. I remember in the Xerox training, if you didn't pass that section, you were not going into sales, period.
That's right. That's right. They'd send you home.
Yes. Yes, it was very humbling. Well, Brad, thank you so much for taking the time. I would like people to know how to get a hold of you. So if you wouldn't mind giving us some idea of if people like what they're listening to and want to talk to you more about what it is that you do and how you can help them, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Sure. Well, it's been a pleasure, Mary Lou, as always. And again, my name is Brad Williams, and my email is bwilliams@dextra.com, and that's spelled like do extra, dextra.com, or you can go visit us at www.dextra.com.
And I will put in the show notes for those of you driving down the freeway not being able to write. I'll have all of Brad's contact information. I'll also put the Getting to Close book. I suggest you guys read that. It's a really great book, even though it was written a long time ago. It still applies. And then the Lightning Experience section on the Kanban board. I'll put that in there as well so you can take a look at that. That is probably one of the better moves on Salesforce's part in terms of helping people get to opportunity to close forecasting that will be more accurate, which the more accurate the forecast, the more predictable the sales. And then that way we can take those analytics and figure out how many emails to send, how many phone calls to make in order to generate how many opportunities that you guys need to close. Brad, thanks again for your time. I really appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
My pleasure, Marilyn.